back. 4:17, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. It's Wednesday afternoon, and that means it's an Emily Day. Emily Miller joins me now, Washington Times senior editor of the opinion pages. Hello, Emily.
Andy, you know, every time I hear our company's slogan, Fearless Reporting, American Values,
yes,
I feel like cheering. It very much inspires me.
Well, you're allowed.
I think we've like the best company slogan in any media outlet.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you're allowed to cheer, and you know, I'll cheer right along with you.
I need to go be fearless.
Yeah. Well, it appears that Barack Obama sometimes is fearless, and he may be walking into a brick wall if he keeps knocking the Constitution and the Second Amendment. But on Monday, I just know you were glued to the TV watching the speech. And what did you take away from it?
Oh, I was glued. We just obviously did not go down to the mall because I think I would have just, had to gouge my eyes out with my pen. But his inauguration speech was, you couldn't be more liberal. I mean, it was just, so partisan. And, one thing you'll notice, though, is he said together seven times. So mm-hmm. He kept saying together. Yet everything he talked about was something that was geared towards his liberal base, whether it was more spending on things like solar panels and wind, I would say chimes, but I forgot what they're called, tunnels. And he said something about, the gays who are here need to have equal rights, and he talked about more immigration reform. He was so partisan, so divisive, so I'm sure he alienated half the country if they were watching, although they said ratings were way down from four years ago.
Yeah.
The other thing that was markedly, I thought, in that speech was that he was, well, we have this amazingly high unemployment of 7.8%, which has not budged except gone up in the last 4 years, and we have this terrible economy that has not changed, and he promised to cut the deficit in half. Instead, we have this, $16.4 trillion debt. We have four plus years of trillion-dollar deficits. Yet not once did he mention the word debt. The only time he referenced the economy was when he said, well, we're starting to recover, this is 4 years later. It was just quite unbelievable. I went back and looked at what the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, predicted when he was first sworn in and where we'd be debt-wise in 4 years, and we were supposed to be at $11 trillion. Instead, we're at $16 trillion. So it's just, amazing how he can just whitewash over these failures. And I think the American people probably listened to that speech and said, okay, we're going to worry about solar panels, and I still don't have a job, and, our economy is still going bad, and the housing market is still in the slump. So it was just a very odd, sort of end to the first term.
Yeah. And one of the things you had mentioned in an earlier column was the fact that he wants to spend more money. In fact, not only him, but world leaders want a combined $14 trillion to fight climate change. Like, they're actually going to be able to keep storms like Sandy from attacking our shoreline. Somehow or another, by throwing money at it, it's going to work.
It's very strange. You heard him say, for those of us who aren't quite sure, that you said those many people doubt climate change exists. For them, I asked them, for them, they should look at these hurricanes and look at these wildfires. I thought, what in the world? Did anything have, like, there weren't wildfires and hurricanes before 1900?
Yeah.
It's the strangest excuse. I mean, a lot of us do question, this money wasted and all these Al Gore theories, but I really don't think they're going to prove their point by saying the hurricanes and wildfires are a cause for it. And, all you have to look at is the $500 million that was gotten from taxpayer money that was thrown away on the Cylinder Project to know that giving him more tax dollars for more green energy is really not a good thing for our economy.
Yeah. I saw a running total the other day. So far, the government has thrown away, actually just sent it right down the toilet, $7.5 billion in investments like Cylindra.
That's a shocking number, and you think what that could do. Actually, that's one day of borrowing.
true.
Right?
Yeah.
Right, so.
All right. Tomorrow, if I understand correctly, is the day that Dianne Feinstein will introduce gun assault ban weapon number 2, I guess it is. I don't know.
Yeah, this is the assault weapons ban on steroids. It's come back. And, you know, Obama said he supports an assault weapons ban, I should say so-called assault weapons ban. He was a priority of his in his first term. And Dianne Feinstein, the author of the first one, is back with her new steroid version one. This one takes from 1994 to 2004 when the ban was in effect. Is it any of these black rifles that have these two characteristics, and then things like pistol grip and collapsing stock were on them, then they were considered assault weapons. You know, just these, you know, as we've talked about a million times, just completely cosmetic, nothing to do with the function of the gun. It also banned magazines over 10 rounds. Well, this is back, and this time it's any one feature that can create assault weapons. So a pistol grip, which is a standard, you know, part of one of these rifles because it helps you hold the rifle up. I mean, I've shot an AR-15. I don't see how I could even hold it up without a grip underneath it. So just having that makes it banned. It basically bans all these rifles, which, as you've discussed, are caused all rifles, any kind of rifle, were the cause of death of 300 people in the course of a year in America. I mean, this is about taking away certain guns that the left thinks is scary. And his ammunition bans. And so we don't know exactly what's in her bill yet. She won't release it. I talked to her office yesterday. They will only give you a summary. The full bill will be announced tomorrow, and it should be interesting to see how far this one will go. And it will mimic what's happening in a lot of states in America right now. We saw New York pass radical new laws, which is, may end up in confiscating people's guns by getting rid of them. It's caused huge problems. And Connecticut next week, Monday, is having a huge hearing starting on their new gun bans, Massachusetts, Delaware, Maryland, I could go on. So it's a, you know, this Newtown tragedy has been used, is being used by all the people who have these bills in the works. And Dianne Feinstein absolutely started drafting this before the election because ATF said they had a meeting with her before the election. And they're exploiting this tragedy for their own purposes. And it's, you know, it's spreading fast. And, you know, as I'll be writing for tomorrow's paper, gun owners in all of these states have got to get engaged if they want to slow this down.
Yeah. You know, and it really is a disingenuous argument that they're having related to Newtown because, you know, I don't know where they've been on all the deaths of children in the ghettos in this country. I mean, you know, and not even the ghettos. And I mean, in some suburban areas, it's, you know, it's gangs, it's thugs. They're bad people, and they're not using assault weapons for the most part. I think the handgun would be the weapon of choice for most of these criminals, and it is.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's, I still don't really quite understand about the sort of gun grabber crowd is why they go after the one firearm that really isn't used in crimes.
Yeah.
The rifle just isn't, and it's quite simple because, I mean, if I saw anybody walking down the street with a rifle, I would run. You know what I mean? You can't hide them. So they don't, you know, it's strange. And the only thing I can assume is that they go after this, which is a backdoor way of going after the handguns. And I have to, actually, as I said earlier, in this new assault weapons ban from Dianne Feinstein, she does expand her ban to handguns and to shotguns as well as rifles that have these characteristics. So it's not even secretly going after all guns.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you hear sometimes them talk about banning semi-automatic weapons because they don't realize the public is aware of that is all weapons.
Yeah.
It's all happening so fast, and that they're doing this all very fast in order to exploit that tragedy and, you know, to get these things that they've been working on for a long time.
Yeah. And you ever think about how many government workers, how many new government employees they'll be required to enforce some of these new regulations? But I guess it doesn't matter. Our tax dollars will pay for it.
Oh, well, actually, it's gun owners who will pay for it.
She
hasn't put it out yet, but supposedly in her draft bill, she's going to charge all those people who have the existing supposedly assault weapons, $200 a year to register them with the government. So federal government will know every one of those guns, and they'll charge you for it. And that's what New York did. That's what Connecticut's doing in Massachusetts. They're charging the gun owners to register their guns. So not only does the government know everyone's gun and everyone's gun, home address, and what they own, but they'll be charging you for it, and those fees will be increasing every year. So they'll be punishing gun owners as well as, you know, the whole point of the Second Amendment, obviously, as we all know, was to prevent government tyranny, and it's pretty easy to confiscate guns when you know every single one of them and the home address.
Yeah. strange time right now in America, without a doubt. All right, Emily, look, folks, if you haven't checked out today's piece, The Era of Big Government is Renewed, it's by Emily Miller, and it's in today's Washington Times. Thanks for joining me, as always, and we'll talk next week, Emily.
Thanks, Andy. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye. 427, 730 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. That, of course, Emily Miller, senior editor for the opinion pages here at the Washington Times.